Hello, Seth. I want to play a game. Right now, you're feeling helpless. This is the same helplessness you bestowed onto others. But now, it's unto you. Some call this karma. I call it justice. Now you served 5 years of what should have been a life sentence.
Welcome back to the Haddonfield Horrors Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
And today we're reviewing Saw 5, released in 2008, directed by David Hackle, and story by Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan. Tawan, can you give the people the plot summary?
Despite the fact the serial killer Jigsaw is dead, his work lives on through a new apprentice, Lieutenant Mark Hoffman, a cop who appeared to be hot on the murderer's trail. As fellow lawman agent Peter Strom begins to suspect Hoffman as Jigsaw's protege, the fledgling killer sets out to dispose of him.
So Saw 5. Now, again, this is one of the Saw movies I never watched before, but it's one that I knew of because Megan Good's in it. And I remember when we were gearing up to record episode 2 for Saw 2, I was getting Saw 2 and Saw 5 mixed up because they both have group games. And I love a group game. I feel like part, the first one was good. It had two people. I realized it was like three people, but it felt claustrophobic because we only have those main two people. So I love it when a game has like 5 to 6 players. It just makes it better. The dynamics are better. You don't know who to trust, who's going to be crazier. But this was kind of a letdown. Like, with Saw 2, you had that one crazy character who kind of fucked the whole game up. But it was like a slow build to that. Like, you saw that he was crazy, but it wasn't just like off jump they were all like selfish and crazy. Like, from the moment we saw their game started, they were all out for themselves, and it didn't make the game enjoyable, not to mention all the fucking flashbacks. This was basically a fucking retrospective movie with a couple fucking new scenes spliced in between, and it was a lot. But what are your thoughts on this movie?
I feel like I remembered liking this one before, like, rewatching it, and I won't say, like, I hated it.
I feel like you said that about most of the ones we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen, like, all these movies, like watch them, like, in a long time. Like, probably in the amount of time that they've, like, came out has been since I've, like, actually sat down and watched them, besides, like, you know, Kill Count and all that kind of stuff. But I think when I came back to this one, I did like the game itself because it was so obvious that they were kind of supposed to work together. I feel like once they got to the second room, somebody should have noticed, but they were just so, like, in for themselves with it. Which, I mean, I understand, especially after that first room, like, nobody's going to check the keys and stuff, like, in the first room to, like, see, like, oh, wait, let's see if this key works for your thing. Like, you get 60 seconds and your head's getting chopped off. So, like, I don't think anyone would be trying to, like, figure out who, like team plays and shit at that point. Like, they're just trying to get their key and, like, keep it moving. So, that's that. But outside of the game, it really, It is a lot going on, like, outside of the game. And the way they kind of, like, string certain things along, there's, like, certain things that, you know, that came up in Saw 4 that we don't get payoff to until this movie. But it's not like that kind of payoff where it's like, oh, like, this turned into this. It's like, we know Jill is going to get files. Like, Jill got, like, a box of files in Saw 4, but we're not going to see them until Saw 5. So they're, like, arbitrarily, like, pushing it further along for stuff that they could have, you know, revealed already at this point. And it's a lot of that, like, back and forth type that you kind of mentioned as well with, like, the flashbacks and everything. But that's kind of, like, at this point, like, in nature for Saw. Like, I'm not even – I don't even care at this point about, like, the flashbacks and all that and where we are as far as that kind of goes. I feel like it's just to be it's just to be expected at this point with the Saw movies. But I don't, like – how the game has so little impact on everything else in this one. Like, the game is really, they really put, it's like, you know, watching an anime, you got your filler anime, like your filler episodes. It's like they have the main episode and the filler going on at the same time. Like, the game is the filler and they have everything else surrounding, like, Hoffman, Strom, and the rest of them going on at the same, as well.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant that this is the first time the game doesn't have a direct impact on the whole, the overall plot of the movie. Like, it's like, here's the movie, the main movie plot, and oh, this is a Saw movie, so here's a Jigsaw game. Like,
yeah,
it just felt like you said, it just felt they were definitely separated.
Yeah, because even with, like, Saw 4, like, I didn't care for, like, Rig and, you know, that whole game and everything. But that did go into the story because of, you know, it was going in tandem with what was happening in Saw 3. It was all happening at the same time. So, like, and also involved, like, Eric Matthews, and then Hoffman was, like, a part of that and all that type of thing. So it made sense why that, like, was played like that, and the rest of those, like, I would say 1 to 4, like, all those games, like, are connected to each other. But, like, as far as the rest of these, not the rest of these, but as far as this game at least, they were kind of, like, disjointed. And I feel like they just, like, Jigsaw, before, you know, he died, he just picked, like, these people who were connected in this way because of this building and all this stuff that they, like, had all something to do with or a part of, and now they're in a trap and running through the game. But, you know, no one else outside of it, like, it's not really brought up outside of the, like, game itself. So that was definitely, like, weird throughout the movie for me, and it definitely made it feel disjointed. I will say, like, the traps themselves that they kind of had were pretty decent, but at least for as far as the whole thing, it's like the whole, like, overall, it was definitely a little, like, underwhelming in that aspect.
Yeah, I feel like the game not being directly connected to their whole overarching plot definitely takes it away, because honestly, the traps of the game weren't even that like, inventive or creative. Like, I feel like the traps we saw in past movies were definitely better. And like, when it got back to the game, I kind of just, like, that was my bathroom break. That was, oh, I need some chips, or, oh, let me scroll through Twitter really quick, because I wasn't interested in the game or the player. What I was interested in was in Strom, like, piecing everything together and the flashbacks to how Hoffman and John Kramer met, and seeing that, like, literally Hoffman walked out of the room right as Amanda was willing the wife in part 3. So I loved seeing little things like that, but the game itself, it was boring. Like,
I feel like probably the people behind the movie, they probably were the same. They probably felt more into that story, but they knew what people were coming to Saw for and were like, oh wait, we need traps, we need the gore, where's the gore?
Definitely is like, this is a Saw movie, so we have to do this, so we have to have these traps. But it's like, if you didn't want to be here, you, like, this could, it could just been, I don't know. Like, when we get to the end and we finally see something being played out, I'll wait. But I want to talk about some standout scenes. For me, I think, the standout scene for me is definitely when we finally get confirmation that the daughter survives. because they leave that very like up in the air at the end of three. They don't really address it in four. So seeing that she's alive was like, okay, cool. Okay, we took a deep breath. John didn't kill this girl. Amanda probably would have. Amanda crazy as fuck, but
yeah, she probably would have.
A mother standout scene for me. I love seeing Strom like going through like all the old locations and kind of just like getting the flashbacks and like, oh, we were all supposed to die. Oh, this was supposed to happen. So I love those. I love the investigation scenes. And I also, I like to see where they're in Perez's hospital room, but like, where the fuck was she? Was she in surgery? Did she just get swift away to protective custody? Like, what the fuck happened? What about you? Any scenes stood out for you?
One scene that I like, just because, you know, once you get to the end, not the end, but the end of the game at least, was when the two last players discovered, like, oh, wait, we were all supposed to get through that. And, like, watching it now, like back on some of the, on like some of them, you could definitely see that. Like, I'm pretty sure back then when I was like younger, I probably didn't even notice that. And I thought it was probably crazy. I thought it was like, whoa, like type of moment. But watching it now, especially once they got to the second room where they had to like go into those tunnels and stuff, I'm like, those are so clearly like fit for multiple people that can go in there. And, but once they get to the last one where they have to like saw their arms and stuff and get a blood, that was a good one, because they both realized that they kind of fucked up in that moment. Trying to think. And I would probably say another scene was just the ending with Strom and Hoffman. Because it's kind of one of those like jigsaw, like it's kind of just one of those saw like jigsaw things where someone didn't either listen to their whole tape or they weren't following the instructions, and because they didn't follow the instructions, what Jigsaw said what happened did happen. Which, I mean, yes, Strom died because he didn't get in the box. But like, who's gonna trust Jigsaw at this point? It's one of those things. It's like, how like, even if I was in there and I listened to that whole tape and he was like, you'll stay alive if you get in the box. I'm like, the box? That's gonna, like, what is gonna happen once I'm in this box? Like, I don't know. So it's kind of one of those moments. But once you get there, he puts Hoffman in there and it descends into the ground and the room starts closing in. That was like a crazy scene. I wasn't expecting Strom to go out like that.
Well, let's talk about the traps, because that was a crazy-ass trap. I was not expecting the room to start fucking closing in on him, and he got squished. When John Kramer, or whoever voice that was being Jigsaw, was like, you're never going to leave this room, we're never going to find you. I was thinking they were just going to trap him in there and he was going to starve to death. I didn't think he was going to be, like, squished and just, like... And then see, like, his blood drop on, like, the glass thing that Hoffman was in.
Crazy.
And then another trap that stood out. The opening trap. That was a good trap. Because he crushed his fingers and the blood came out, but the blade kept swishing. I mean, just, that was brutal. But those are the only two traps that stood out. The opening trap, the ending trap. Again, all the traps in the game itself, I wasn't really impressed. But what about you?
Yeah, I will say, like, yeah, they weren't all that impressive. Now, I will mention... Strom's trap, if I recall. Was Strom's trap in this one? Yeah, it was. Yeah. His trap where he had to do the tracheotomy.
That was good. I would have died.
Yeah, I definitely would have died there. I couldn't. I probably want to think to do that. And then two, once I like I would have maybe gotten the courage to do it, I probably would have drowned by then. Because he didn't
I would have never done it. I would just would have drowned because
he didn't even have a way out of it anyway. Like, it was definitely just one of those, like, ones that were meant for him to die. But we know with fucking Hoffman being on the scene now that he's the type for that.
Him and crazy ass Amanda. You got anything else?
That's kind of it. Like, the first, like, the actual traps, like, in the game, they weren't, like, that interesting. Like, they really didn't.
They were very basic.
Yeah, they were very basic. Yeah, they didn't really have much to do. They just had to get a key for the first one. Then they had, and the second one, I kind of forgot exactly what they had to do. But I know they had to end up in those tunnels. I think they had to get keys again to get to open the tunnels, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they had to get keys again. Now, the third one was the electricity one. I don't understand how that one would work with all of them. I know that I've seen that they will all share the current. But I'm like, I don't know how that's going to, I don't know how that would specifically work. But that was it. And then the last one was just collecting the blood. So, yeah, they didn't really have, like, much to do besides the fact that they were just all supposed to work together to get to that goal at the end. But, I mean, props to that girl and the guy at the end because...
Yeah, they made it.
They definitely did it. They're fucking...
But, you know...
Like, their arms were, like, cut all the way up to, like, their fucking shoulders damn near.
What makes me mad about this series is, like, I feel like Friday the 13th. No, I can't say that because that continuity of Friday the 13th is all over the fucking place. But I think with this being, with it being different directors for pretty much all the movies, like, okay, you had James Wan that first movie. So everything felt tight and control and very, like, going to a single direction. We had... one director who directed 2, 3, and 4, and it all felt the same. 5 has a completely as a different director, and this is the only movie that he directed in this franchise, and it just feel, you can tell it's different. It looks different. It feels different. Yeah. And I think this director didn't click with what was supposed to be going on, which is probably why he didn't come back ever again. So I don't know, like. The story's there, I guess. I mean, the people who wrote 5 also wrote 4. And I know they're going to write another coming back for 6 and 7 as well. So the story's there, but like the look and the feel isn't there. And I think it's on the director. It doesn't give me the Saw feel. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. This one definitely feels a bit different and... I feel after this with 6, I feel like 6 is pretty good, like, stylistic-wise. But 7 and or, like, Saw 3D, that one looks terrible. And that's from the same director that did 6, which confused
me. And he's also the same director who's doing 10.
But I would say, just from the trailers, 10 looks way better than 7.
Well, he's had a couple, he's had over 10 years to, you know, get his shit together. So hopefully.
He better have.
Hopefully. So let's move on to the characters. Now, we kind of talked about them, but we're going to start with the game players. You know, we decided to put them all just under one blanket because, as we said, the game itself didn't really have an impact on... the main story. The game was pretty much isolated, and all the players were connected in one singular event. They all did something that caused someone to die in a house fire or whatever. So, what do you think about the game players and their reasons for like being part of the game?
I mean, I don't think their reasoning for being part in the game was that bad, to be honest. The only person out of them where I would say maybe didn't deserve to be there was the guy who was the newspaper writer, just because he was sitting on the story. But I mean, the rest of them all had like actual involvement in it, especially the two that were left at the end, Malik and Britt, because she paid a drug dealer, I mean, to get someone to burn down the building. And the guy, Malik, actually burned down the building, and Megan Good's character she gave a permit for, she knew about it basically and was kind of in on it. And the other girl, she didn't do her job as being like a fire, I don't think she was a fire marshal. She was like something in like the fire department, but she didn't give like the correct like procedures or something and caused like more people to die. So like I would say all the four of them, I think they deserved it. I don't think the other guy deserved it just because he was sitting on the story about it. Like, he was waiting, if I think he was just waiting for the right time to release it, which, I mean, shit like that happens all the time with journalists. Like, they take a while to collect all the information before they release a story. So, I mean, I don't think that's
deserved. And sometimes they can't release a story because their bosses or the editor is like, no, you can't publish this.
Exactly. So I'm like, you can't. So like, how are you? Like, that's not nothing for, that's not Jigsaw worthy. But we know at this point, Jigsaw is just going to do what he wants to do. But outside of that, yeah, they were like, I always hate saying this, but they were really just, they were like just cannon fodder background characters. Like, they really had no impact on the rest of this movie. Like we said, like, they were really,
Saw
like,
needs no, a body count, so that's what they were there for.
Yeah, like, we could have, like, we really could have taken their whole plot out and the story would not have changed at all. It just probably would have changed where certain people were at certain times, like Hoffman being at the warehouse to like start it all, but and like leaving Strom's phone at the warehouse for the main detective Erickson to find it. But besides that, like, they still could have probably did something else to get each person at whatever location without including this game in there.
Let's talk about Jill. Now, Jill has kind of just like been around these last couple movies, but like, hasn't really been really a part of the plot, and her coming up and being like, oh yeah, Strom's following me, I was just like, that came out of nowhere for me. So I don't know. What about you? What are your thoughts on Jill?
I will say it probably came out of nowhere, but I think she did that to kind of she kind of did that to plant that seed a little more that it could possibly be like Strom, because why else would like someone go after like Jigsaw's wife at this point, especially because like Hoffman's planting all those seeds towards Detective Erickson and all the other people in the police department that it could possibly be Strom, as someone who's like the new apprentice of Jigsaw and doing all this stuff. So, I mean, I kind of get it, but, yeah, they don't use Jill much in this one. She gets like a lot more going on in 6 and 7, if I recall correctly, especially 7.
She does. Yeah. But, I know she has a big part in 7 she plays.
Yeah, but yeah, in this one, we still kind of get, like, just, like, little stuff of her. You know, she was getting those files and stuff and gave them off to Hoffman. But besides that, she didn't have much impact for now.
Yep. Yeah. It's not a case of one of those things where they just, like, plop a character in for a little bit and then expand on them 2 movies down the line. I'm glad we're watching these so close together, but, like, having to come back to the theater year after year after year, and home video was still like, yeah, I had to go rent this DVD or rent this VHS, and there wasn't streaming back then, so like, you would forget some of these details. Like, yeah, they have flashbacks, but like, fuck. Like, okay. But let's talk about Agent Strom. Like, I was doing research a little bit, I thought people were just like, he should have just stopped. He was like that other cop. He should have just stopped. I was like, no. This man almost died, and he wouldn't have survived if he wasn't quick thinking. So the fact that someone else survived and walked out unharmed, really, he was justifiably suspicious. And I feel like all the other cops and that FBI agent with that fucking Bluetooth thing in his ear should have been listening to him. Like, come on. I barely survived, and I have a fucking hole in my throat. But this guy has a couple arm scratches and he was able to save this random ass kid. Like, come on now. Like, he was completely justified. And he was smart as shit too. He was putting everything together. Like, I'm Justice for Strom. What are your thoughts on him?
No, yeah, actually, yeah, I do like Strom. I will say, like, they gave him, like, they kind of gave him, like, Batman powers. Like, this motherfucker was acting like he had, like, detective mode out of the Arkham Asylum game when he was in locations. Because, like, he would just, it's like he would just know. Like, when he went to the location where the Seth Baxter game took place, like, the first trap in the movie, and he was like, you watched him. Like, I'm like, bro, how would you know that? Like, come on. Like that, it's really, it's like, I know you're not, like, that precognitive to know what the fuck happened, but, his character worked as, like, to be a good, like, cat and mouse for Hoffman. And I don't know, like, I feel like they should have kept him around for another movie or so, because once we get to, like, the next movie and the one after that, like, Hoffman becomes so unhinged and, like, really doesn't have anybody to stop him, kind of. And Strom was kind of, like, a good, like, antithesis to that. And if he was able to stay around, it would have, I feel like that could have been really, like, really cool for, like, the character of Hoffman to have someone, like, going at him in that sense. But, like, Strom was there to play, though. Like, he was putting information together. He was putting the pieces together. It was just Hoffman was getting the heads up over the other people and planting those seeds, and, like, plus that seed that from Jill that Strom was following her and stuff like that. So it definitely didn't pan out for him as good because of all the seeds planted by other people. But he was the only one, like, given, like, actual good information about who it actually, well, one, who we know it is, but to them, like, who they think it is, which is Hoffman.
And speaking of Hoffman, I see, like, this game was given to him. So, like, okay, cool, that's whatever. But, like, seeing that he was the one tasked to tying up all the loose ends, but I'm like, these weren't even his games. Like, why is he the one going around, like, shutting everything up? Like, I just felt like something was, I don't know, something was missing for me with Hoffman. It just felt like, I don't know. I didn't like him as a Jigsaw apprentice. But what about you?
Yeah, his this game definitely was given to him. Like, because if I recall, didn't Jill give him, like, those files to basically tell him who, like, what this game was going to be about? So yeah, he really didn't even have to do anything for this one. It was definitely given to him for this, and I mean, that kind of, this kind of goes into the next one as well. But I think one of my things with Hoffman that I feel not would have saved him in any type of way from any scrutiny, but why in the first place did Hoffman have to kill Seth Baxter and make it look like a Jigsaw killing? If he was able to kidnap Seth and set him up in a trap, why didn't he just, like, actually just kill him? Now, I get, like, making it look like a Jigsaw killing would be a good way to, like, go about it, but now that he's wrapped up in this whole thing, it just implicates him a little bit more than somebody else would. Like, okay, if the guy who killed his sister came up just dead, like a homicide or something, I'm sure nobody would think Hoffman. But the fact that he died in a Jigsaw trap, and now, like, Hoffman is really close and was also in a Jigsaw trap, like, I don't know, it looks more, like, suspicious that way, at least to me. But if he was able to do all of that to get the guy,
oh, it's definitely suspicious. Like, when he said, oh, this guy killed my sister, that should have been a red fucking flag right there. Like, there's no way. And he had no case. And also, he had no real reaction. If you're a cop and you walk into a crime scene and the person who murdered your sister is in front of you dead, you're going to have some type of reaction. It might be inappropriate happiness or sad. You might be overwhelmed with sadness. Like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't just justice I wanted, but this is the justice I got. Like, he had no reaction to this. He didn't even seem fazed. Why weren't these flags, like, waved?
That's so true. Like, he should have been taken off the case, honestly, at that point. Because even, like, even that's, like, not, like, this Well, no, it is, it's personal involvement. Yes, the guy's dead, but he still should be taken off the case because either way, like, the personal involvement has, like, a lot to do with that. But it looks suspicious. And also, but it also just, like, why even go that, why even go that route when, I don't know, if you, like I said, if he had all that ability to capture him, kidnap him, set him up, bro, why just not kill him and, like, hide the body or some shit?
Right? It's too much. It was too, I just feel like Strom was being, he was making valid points and no one listened to him. Hoffman was definitely suspicious. That guy was suspicious. And you telling me he wasn't, I feel like Strom's behavior after what happened to him was normal. He wanted to figure out what the fuck was going on. The fact that Hoffman survived and just felt completely removed, again, was another fucking red flag. Because if I'm in a fucking trap, and I think there's a chance that anybody else is out there, I'm going to be investigating it. You're a cop. But I don't know. But let's talk about Jigsaw, a.k.a. John Kramer. We only really got him in a couple flashbacks. But did they, I might have missed it, but did they explain how he knew Hoffman was the one pretending to be him?
I'm going to be honest, I really don't think it was, like, explained. Like, I know that, like, he you know, he caught him and everything, but I don't really think that it was explained how he actually knew that Hoffman did it. Because, I mean, technically, if Jigsaw didn't do it, anybody could have done it. But specifically knowing it was this detective whose sister was killed by this guy, I don't see how he could put that two together.
Well, what are your thoughts on John Kramer overall? Well, his reasoning or whatever.
Overall, like, Kramer is such, like, a flawed ass character, and I don't feel like these movies, like, try to, like, get us, like, on his side or anything. They just try to give us what, you know, what his character's, like, thought process is for a lot of this stuff. And also, like, picking these apprentices and everything to, like, carry it out once he's done. Because he feels like he's doing, like, some sort of, like, justice almost, like, in that, kind of like in a Judge Dredd type of sense, like he's like judge, jury, executor, and but you can redeem yourself, and like he's feeling like he's giving these people a second chance, but at a certain point, it's like, what are you? Which I feel like we've gotten in this conversation for like every episode, but it's hard not to with like he tries to be like he's in the moral right, even though he's dead now. Like we still have to deal with him because of the flashbacks, so he still tries to feel like he's in that moral like right area of it all. When one, we know he's not, but also the people who are on the other end of these traps are not. And aside from that, now you have, like, other people brought into it because of what you started, i.e. Hoffman and then Amanda. And especially Hoffman, now that we know that he's been with them basically the whole time since the first movie. Like, this guy is just gonna get, like, really unhinged at a certain point. And I feel like if Kramer didn't die, I feel like Hoffman probably would have eventually killed him.
I feel like with Kramer, he gets these apprentices, but then he puts them in a situation where, like, when their game is concluded, his game is still going on, and then they still die in his game for them. Which I don't really get. It's like, why you pick these people just so you can kill them? Like, what's going on? And then I the overall, like, logic, oh, he doesn't really kill people. Like, yes, he does. If you tie someone up and you put them in a situation that causes their death, you are indirectly responsible for their murder. You are still a fucking murderer.
Exactly.
Like, that would not hold up in a court of law. You are still going to jail.
You're going to prison.
Like, what the fuck? Like, you're still going to jail, people. Like, I don't understand. Like, I But whatever. But that's the last character we have, was Mr. Jigsaw himself. But Tuan, can you give the people the behind-the-scenes info and facts?
That I can. So, the budget of this movie, Saw 5, was $10.8 million, and it brought in a box office of $113.9 million. Some interesting facts. Scott Patterson was apprehensive about sticking his head in a sealed box that would fill with water. The trap was tested beforehand and didn't go well. Danny Glover was offered a chance to reprise his role in a flashback. He had to decline because of shooting conflicts with the film Blindness. The original screenplay called for characters played by Megan Good and Julie Benz to go through most of their ordeal wearing just their undergarments. The production team decided against this when they realized how committed and serious the two actresses were about their role. Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of a C on an A+ to F scale. New York Daily News gave Saw 5 a 1 out of 5 stars, believing that the lack of Tobin Bell's Jigsaw character hurt the film. Bell's deliciously twisted madman was the lifeline of the series, and without him, we're left with watching a routine horror flick that might as well have gone straight to DVD. Digital Spy rated it 3 out of 5 stars. It commended the film for its solid acting, slick direction, and suitably filthy cinematography, too. The Los Angeles Times wrote that the virtues of the individual films are almost besides the point, since it's hard to imagine why anyone would want to pick up the thread at this late. But Saw 5 is particularly dull and discombobulated affair, shot and acted with all the flair of a basic cable procedural. Yikes.
Right? They went in on this movie, but what do we think? Tuan, do we cash or pass Saw 5? For me, it's a pass. Like I said, the game itself wasn't enjoyable. Yeah, it was fun watching Strom like do the detective work and seeing Hoffman trying to cover his tracks. But from the very beginning, Saw has always been, you have the cop story, you have the Jigsaw game. But at some point, they all intertwine or interconnect. This felt like two separate plots going on simultaneously that never meet. There was no meeting in the middle or meeting the climax. It was just two separate stories. And to top it all off, the game was kind of boring and the game players weren't interesting. So it was only half enjoyable, which means it's entirely passable. What about you, Tuan?
I'm a bit like in the middle with this one, but I'm leaning more towards a pass because while we do get a lot of backing information for where we're going to go forward, as far as like Hoffman being like the new like main apprentice, you know, Jigsaw is like dead, Amanda's dead. He's going to be like our guy going forward, going through and doing like all the Jigsaw traps and things like that. But you know, the whole game itself that was in here, like we mentioned, was disconnected. Like, you could have taken that out, and the movie would have been squished down to just the bits that we have with like, Hoffman, Strom, and all those characters. But if you, like, minus a lot of that, it's, like, flashback and stuff, and just keep in what's happening in the present. It's not really a lot going on here, and it could have probably been attached to, like, Saw 6 or something. Like, a lot of this could have probably been combined for the next movie, and it probably wouldn't have made much of a difference as to what was happening, because we really only had the game trap sequences or whatever as like filler content while other stuff was going on in the background. And I think I'm leaning more towards a pass for this one.
Well, and even though she wasn't here for this episode, Maria and I did talk about it, and she pretty much also said that this would also be a pass. So I think this is the first time we've all three passed on a Saw movie, and justifiably so. Like, the game wasn't strong, like you said, outside of a couple things. There wasn't much really going on. I mean, it didn't really get interesting until we got the end scene with Strom and Hoffman, but that's at the end of the movie. So Yeah, three passes. But hopefully Saw 6 gives us a little bit more. Again, this is another one I have never seen. I don't know what to expect from it. Like, going into this, leaving 5, I don't know what to expect from 6. It's the exact same writers, but it's a different director, so I don't know. Any you want to give me any hint, Tuan?
Now I don't remember if I liked the whole movie of Saw 6, but I do remember liking the game in Saw 6 because of like what it was kind of like dealing with, and it actually did have something to do with Kramer this time around. It is like a game of something that happened, not happened in the past, but someone who did something to Kramer in the past, and now like he's going through like a trial, and like as far as the game goes. So I do remember liking this one as far as like the actual like whole game is happening, but as far as the background stuff with like the police and like Hoffman and all that, I don't really remember much from that part of things.
Well, I guess we'll see. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Join us next week. Good night. If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and many reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Torin Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?